Today's date is the 10th month, the 31st day, the year 2021, and it's the 7th weekday. This general discussion took place on the Irish Save Thee Contest site.
In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the God the Son, Jesus Christ, in the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, intercession of St. Joseph, the Patriarch of the Holy Family, and Patron of the Holy Catholic Church, grant you all the graces and other helps you need to come into the Catholic Church and have a hope to save your mortal souls. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with the Spirit of thy love and wisdom. St. Patrick, the Moses of Ireland, pray for us.
Yeah, I did have a question about the slavery thing.
Yeah.
So, you're saying slavery is not intrinsically evil, and then you say, an example of unjust slavery, see two paramilla, I always forget how to pronounce that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, paralipomenon, it's horrible. I know, it's a, yeah.
Two Chronicles 28.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I read the passage. It says, the children of Israel carried away of their brethren 200,000 women, boys, and girls, and an immense booty. So what are you saying? I just want to know. So, like, the evil kind of slavery is like the transatlantic slave trade kind of slavery, where they just go and they kidnap people and they ship them over.
Not necessarily.
That kind of slavery?
No, not necessarily. That could be justified slavery, and I think that might have been, even though evildoers were doing it, like Babylon. When God took the Jews into Babylon, he used Nebuchadnezzar to take him into Babylon, and he was a pagan. And God said, I'm with Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm taking you Jews into captivity to punish you. I happen to think the African slavery here was justified slavery. Because God was, even in spite of the fact that Jews and evil people were taking them to slavery, they were being punished for their paganism in Africa. So I happen to believe that's justified slavery. And with your reading there of Paralipomenon, the Jews were not supposed to make slaves of their own people. Although there were circumstances in which you could make a Jew a slave if he owed you a debt. And he would be indebted to you as a slave for like 7 years, but you'd have to release him after 7 years. So you couldn't keep him as a slave forever. Now, that one verse you're reading there, as I recall, and I make sure I got it right, those Jews were wrong for just blanketly taking all these, they're Jews taking Jews into slavery. And they weren't supposed to do that. They can take, go ahead, Ryan.
So why is it okay to enslave people who are not your people? Like, in that case, it was Jews. In the New Testament, I guess it would be Catholics, right? So why is it okay to enslave non-Catholics but not Catholics?
If you're truly a member of the Catholic Church, you're a brother in Christ. And so now if you're a heretic or a schismatic, okay, you can take him into slavery.
I don't have an issue with taking Catholics as slaves. I'm just saying, I don't understand why. It doesn't seem right to me to just kidnap somebody and make them their slave because they're evil, I guess. I mean,
well, that,
if
see,
they're
then
evil, they'll be punished. It's not up to you to punish them.
Do you believe hell's right? Do you believe hell's? Do you believe that's right?
Absolutely.
Is that slavery?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that belief of yours is weak. If people are sinners, have you read the Bible? See, that's why I question if you guys are reading the Old Testament. When God took the Jews into the Babylonian exile, God said to Nebuchadnezzar, I am with you to take my people into slavery because they disobeyed me. Was God wrong for doing that?
Well, I guess he was using an evildoer to punish them, right?
Absolutely. And it was justified, ordained by God. Jeremiah, the whole reason they persecuted him is because he said, submit to the Babylonians as slaves and they will not kill you. And they will not even take away your land. But if you do not submit, God will destroy your whole land. Slavery is a punishment for people who are pagans.
Or to punish his fallen away chosen people, or his chosen people who are obstinately immoral.
It's a method of punishment. Or he tries his just people that are righteous, who get dragged along with it. Their faith is being tried, like Jeremiah's. Or some of the prophets when they were taken into slavery. They weren't evil, but they were being tested. Their faith was being tested. If we're born into slavery anyway, slavery to the devil until we become members of the church. And God is the... So, Ryan, if you don't believe in justified slavery, then you don't believe in justified wars.
No, I believe in justified slavery. I just don't see how I could go to another continent, kidnap somebody, and say, you know, I'm punishing you for your sins. I mean,
well, then who does like, it? Who it God?
Well, I mean, I would go over there and I would probably try to convert them, not just
yeah, but kidnap them. But if God told you, like Nebuchadnezzar, go into Israel and take the Jews captive. God told you. If God told you to do it, you wouldn't do it?
Okay, if God told me to.
Yeah, well, God speaks to his religious
rule.
Yeah.
So the only justified slavery then would be like if there's a direct revelation from God telling you to do it?
No, no. If God inspires someone to do it even, they don't need it. They could believe they're working for a pagan God even. But even a faithful Jew had slaves. Abraham had slaves. Abraham had slaves.
Okay, but...
So is Abraham evil?
No, I mean, I don't know what kind of slaves it was. I don't think he just ripped a baby from his mother's womb and
they did. Well, they did. When the Jews fought against the Amorites and the pagans and the Canaanites, sometimes God... See, I know you're not reading the Bible because the way you should, because you wouldn't be asking these questions. I'll tell you what I mean by that. When the Jews took people, killed Canaanites, sometimes they only killed the men. And then God said, take the women and the children as slaves. God said this to the faithful Jews.
Yes, I guess he's asking, how would you know if God has given you the inspiration to do something?
Through his religious rulers on earth. He gives them the power to make decisions and God backs them up if they're correct. Like King David when he was ruling and Joshua. God doesn't always even have to speak to you directly. He could speak to you through his religious rulers or his kings that are ruling Israel. And he inspires them to take slaves. Or they go to their religious prophets or their pope, who is the high priest. And he says, kill, like Samuel, when he went in and he told, in this case, though, he told Saul to kill all the men, women, and children and leave nobody alive at all. Sometimes they'll come in and say, yeah,
how would the religious leaders know that they're being inspired by God to go and take people?
Because it's based on faith. I'll give you a good example. If Charlemagne, for instance, he took slaves. Another example is if I'm a king and I got complete power over taking nations, right? And I find out that this nation is extremely pagan, violent, pagan. I'm going to say, take these people into slavery and tame them until they learn the ways of God. To protect them from infecting other people or to wipe them off the face of the earth or take them into slavery. I can say that right away without God telling me even. And all I need to know is, and God would say, Richard, are you correct? Are they really African savages? Are they practicing cannibalism? Are they eating human beings? Yes, Lord, they are. Then you have every right to take them into slavery and to kill them even if they don't listen. God doesn't have to talk to you directly every time. Or then almost every war in the history of the world was wrong.
What about then next generation slaves? So you took those evil people into slavery.
Yeah.
And then they had children amongst themselves.
That was the Jews. Yeah. They're slaves too.
And so you enslave the...
That's right.
You enslave them as soon as they're born.
See, Ryan, this is weak. You're weak.
If I was born a slave, something I want to be freed from.
But look, if the Babylonian exile, how long did it last? When the Jews took him into Babylon?
500 years.
No, the Babylonian exile, 70 years. It was 70 years. Okay, that's several generations. They were all slaves. They were born into slavery. The Egyptian slavery, I think you're talking about, Ryan, that's the Egyptian slavery. And that was about 450 years. So was God evil for allowing his own people to be slaves?
Well,
there's a difference between evil and ordained. Like, so when God ordained the world to exist and he knew they would fall away, he didn't want them to create evil. He ordained
but
the world.
Once you're evil, like God, your children get dragged along with it. That's like somebody asking me, is it fair that your children inherit original sin? Is that fair, Ryan? That they inherit original sin, the kids? But they also inherit the evilness of their parents' ways because they're their children. And so God punishes
But everybody who inherits original sin gets equal chance to...
Yeah, but...
when be forgiven of their sins. But if somebody's a slave, they don't have any chance to live their life or try to be...
I know, because that's the punishment that God's laying upon them. That's the punishment. And I'll tell you something. A lot of times, slavery is not even a punishment, spiritually speaking. If the people are humble and they accept the slavery, it could be their conversion. It could cause them to give up their paganistic ways. Like even the Anglicans could justifiably take the savage Africans and put them into slavery under the yoke until they stop cannibalism and all that. You're already making it easier for them to accept the true God by putting them in slavery. So slavery is not always a curse. It's actually, if you obey God in your slavery, it's always a blessing if it's justified slavery. But if you're too sympathetic for adults being and infants and children being taken to slavery, we got a problem here. That's non-punishmentalism. That's like wimpiness. That's, you're not reading the Bible. If you read the Bible, you couldn't even ask those questions. The Old Testament.
Okay, so if slavery, if there were slaves for sale in Truth or Consequences, would you buy them?
If slavery was legal, yeah, I would. And I would hope to, and then if they're my slaves, I might even be able to convert them. Because now I got them right
if
at my...
If they converted, would you free them?
Depends. And what do I mean by that? St. Paul talks about Catholics owning slaves. I have the verse. You read it. And St. Paul said, if your master's a believing master, obey him all the more because he's a believing master. What is that, Ryan? Was St. Paul a heretic or was he wrong for saying that?
I just don't know what kind of slave it is. Like, if it's...
There's only one kind of... There's slaveries and there's servants. Slaves, they're under your total control. Total control.
Okay.
They can't go somewhere unless you tell them. They can't do it. So that's the punishment of a slave. Now, if I had a good slave, would I free him? Probably, maybe I would. Maybe I won't. If you look at the Rome movie and look at these movies, pagans even had a real concept of justified slavery. Their slaves loved their masters more than their own life.
Yes.
It wasn't always an evil. They loved them more than their own life. And some people, because they didn't want to take care of themselves, were better off being taken care of by other people. The blacks that were slaves down south had it way better than the blacks in the inner cities today. You think somebody wants to go out there and start beating their slaves and treating them unfairly? They're going to be ruining their investment. They were treated very fairly. So this whole thing on slavery, if you don't get rid of it, it's a mushy thing. You have to accept the fact that God ordains justified slavery of generations of people.
I think Brian agrees. It's just he's trying to work out the mechanics. Like for example, like when you go to a country and they're cannibalizing each other, I can see exactly what you're saying. They're way better off being in servitude or slavery.
Yeah, especially under... But if
they're receptive, you know, and they're taking their time to come to the faith, they're moving forward, they're showing some kind of signs of progression.
No, you wouldn't take them into slavery. Only unless they're behaving extremely barbaric and extremely disruptive would you then take them into slavery, have the right to do so, or for some other just cause. So there are parameters as to when you take people into slavery and when you do not take them into slavery.
No, when the Jews took the Canaanites into slavery, because sometimes they didn't only kill the men. You read the Bible, and sometimes they would spare the men, the children and the women. Sometimes they did kill the men and the women, and only take the children. Now, when you take women and children like that into slave captivity, and you're a faithful Jew, well, that's to their bonus. Hagar was an Egyptian slave, and she was take Abraham when he left Egypt. The Pharaoh gave him to as a slave. And Hagar saved her soul and gave birth to the Ishmael nation. And she was a slave, a slave. So, and she wasn't like eating human flesh. It's because Egyptians had slaves anyway. So it doesn't have to always be for that extreme.
Even if they're goodwill or bad will, it's really down to the religious authority to make that judgment.
Right. And if it's based upon a good religious reason, then God's going to back it up. God will back it up. And see, what's the other thing I was thinking of? We're just thinking about Hagar here when she was taken and all the benefits to that. But when you're reading, the whole idea of slavery is just another form of punishment that God is leveling upon a people. Now, you could say, is it better for God to kill the men, women, and children? Or is it better just the men and save the women and the children? Whatever God wills, God wills. So if you're saying slavery is evil, then God must be really evil. When he told Joshua to don't take him slavery, just kill him. Just kill him. Are you against God killing people or are God's people killing people, Ryan? If not, then slavery is not as bad as...
Not.
All right. Well, then slavery is a lot better than that. You're, at least you're living.
What about kind of similar to the sports thing when they're doing permanent damage to somebody. Like, I know you're saying they want to protect their investments, but I'm sure there's cases where they don't and they're just being abusive.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Yeah, yeah. I even said, if you got like, you have an immoral slavery too, you could, as I wrote in the article there, you can have justified slavery, but you can treat your slave brutally and immorally. And that's another issue. We're just talking about right now, first here, slavery in general. You know, there was even in the scriptures, if you guys are reading, you'll see in the scriptures, what they say is, even they have provisions in which you can free a slave. And they would say, if you, after so many years or whatever, I think it was the thing about the Jews even taking their own people's slaves or whatever. It might have been even, maybe not Jews, but they would say, after 7 years, he's free. But if he wants to remain a slave because he likes you and he likes to be with you, then you drill a hole in his ear and you put an earring, you do something like that, and then he's bonded to you forever as a slave. And because a lot of your people wanted to stay in slavery because they had good masters. So, but even St. Paul and St. Peter says, slaves, obey even your froward masters. See, part of your big mushiness today with slavery is everybody's looking at human beings like they're all good, and how could this happen to this poor puppy? You know, why did God leave the people on the Americas for 1,500 years without the gospel being preached? That's slavery to the devil. Yeah. A spiritual slavery, you see? So there's spiritual, you know, go ahead.
No, I don't have anything to say. I'm just listening.
Yeah. But you have to wrap your mind around the fact of, see, I said something to some of the brothers up here once before. I said, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, we agree, Rich, you can kill people. I said, watch, the first time I kill somebody, they're going to be running out of the thing calling me a nut. They're going to say, that's it. Or even smack somebody. If I just smack somebody in the face, they're going to be running out and saying, oh, he's a barbarian. Because that's how mushy our society is. You know, especially, I grew up at least in the 1950s when you still were able to hit your kids. And I got spanked, whipped, and hit by priests, nuns. It's no problem with me. I understand how it works. Today, people
if somebody deserves a slap, they get a slap. And that's people will know that. If you're being brutal, I think that people will pick up on that.
Yeah, but guess what? Most people, you can't slap anybody today. You can't even slap them. You can't. You can't. We had. I will. I don't care. I don't listen to them. We had a football player that spanked his kid, and that was it for him. He spanked his kid. And that was it. That was the end of him.
There was a question on that Shannon wanted to bring up on disciplining children. In Ireland, if she does that, the authorities will come down hard and they'll take the child away.
Well, then she was saying,
you got it. She was saying instead maybe she could give them hard labor.
No. Once you compromise on one thing, you're going to compromise on another. The authorities said that if you have a Bible in your house, we're going to take your house away. Throw the Bible out. The authorities say, if you have a catechism in your house, we're going to take your house away. Throw the catechism away. The authorities say, if you spank your kid, we're going to take your house away. So don't spank the kid anymore. You spank your kid, and if you raise him the right way, he's not going to rat on you. He's not going to rat on you. God will protect you. You still follow God's rule. You don't let the state intimidate you. You spank your kid. You give him discipline in the home, and then he will not rat on you. Even in town. You got some good old people. I was waiting in line in Walmart, and we had one lady who was there, and she goes, you know, they tell us we're not allowed to hit our kids. I don't care what they say. I'll smack my kid if he deserves it. This is a lady talking at Walmart, a pagan or a Protestant.
Like, say, for example, like, knows what you guys teach, and if she does what you say, he will go around and he will say that to authorities.
So let him do it. Let him do it. God will protect you.
They'll take the child away, and then they'll be in the hands of the heathen.
It's still in the hands of God. Because if you listen to that, then the kid's going to be cursed anyway because you disobeyed God. Now you fell out, and you're raising a non-Catholic kid, even though you think you're Catholic. And God's going to curse you doubly. God will get your kid back. Okay, Thomas, let me give you an example. Unless you get rid of your catechism and your Bible and your prayer book, I'm going to take your kid away from you. What do we do? What do you do?
You obviously don't.
All right. It's the same thing. Do not let that fear intimidate you. Because once the devil knows you're going to give on it, and one little thing, disobeying God's decrees and commands. He's got you. I don't care if he threatens to take your kids away, to kill your dogs, to kill your family, to whatever he threatens. Who cares? God's on your side. Go ahead.
I'll take this angle. With the catechism in the Bible, you need them things. You can't take another angle. But with, say, punishment, there's
you need it's a dogma. Corporal punishment is a dogma. You need it to save your kid and to tame him. You need it. You deny it, your kid's going to grow up like a brat, like the whole world. Why do you think the whole world's messed up today? You got a bunch of brats running around. They need a good ass kicking. Asses weren't kicked when they were young. There's no corporal punishment anymore. The world is run wild. What good is it to raise a kid who you think is Catholic and you're not punishing him the way God determines and he grows up to be rebellious?
Well, can I just interject there? I have a huge extended family, and I've seen the difference in the way the kids have turned out, the ones that were not physically punished and the ones that were physically punished.
Absolutely, yeah.
Were physically punished are very successful, uprighteous.
Yes, right? Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Now, my nephew, the guy I'm talking about, Paul, on the main screen there, I was talking to him today. We got to each other really enthused about the faith for a while. But Paul, my brother-in-law, he took the belt to his kids. One of my nephews, when he was a teenager, went completely off the rails with drugs and stuff like that, and he started petty thievery. So he took him one day and put him in his car and drove him out of town where he was out of jurisdiction. If we drive 5 miles, we're technically in a different country. He drove him over the border, took the belt in, belt him, beat him senseless. He deserved it.
That's right. That's right.
And let him walk home on his own. Exactly. Many years later, he talked about it, and he said, you know what? I really deserved what I got. So there you go.
That's exactly it. And, you know, I'll give you a million examples like that, a million. Another example of, we had a friend of mine, he's Italian, married an Irish girl. And a lot of your Irishmen in this country are liberals, really weird. They're like Democrat liberals. Not all of them, but a lot of them, really mushy. But her father was the kind of guy, you don't punish nobody, you don't hit anybody. But my friend is Italian. He was strict. He punished. He hit his kids and all that. Well, his wife's fathers, all his kids were a bunch of rebellious, spoiled drug brats. My friend's kids were all disciplined, humble. They wrestled. They played sports. They were obedient. They were, their manners were very well. And they were all beaten when they were young. They were hit they were punished when they did wrong. So if you don't follow God's rule, you're raising a rebellious kid. It's no different if the state tries to tell you to do something that's contrary to God's faith and what needs to be done to be a good Catholic. You never listen to the state. You try to be secret. You try to get around the law. Like if somebody came around and they told me, look, you're not allowed to have any catechisms or Bibles in here. If you do, we're going to throw you out. I say, I don't got no catechisms or Bibles in here. I tell a non-sinful falsehood, but I never get rid of the catechism. I never get rid of the Bible. I never stop praying. I never stop spanking my kid when he does something wrong. Because if the devil knows you're going to give in about the spanking thing, he's going to get you on another thing and another thing and another thing. And he's got you. He's got you. And then God's not with you anymore. See, you got to have your faith in God that he's going to protect you in these situations. And even if for some reason the kid gets taken away, it's God's will. Pray for the kid. He'll come back to you in due time if God sees fit. If the kid's of bad will, maybe you're not going to get him back anymore. And maybe you will. Maybe he's going to have to grow up to get a little older when he gets to the legally on his own and say, I want to go back to my parents. But you never compromise the faith worrying about what the state's going to do. You can tell non-sinful falsehoods, though. You certainly could. Definitely you can do that, you know. Like, so if the state came in and said, hey, do you got any Catholic Bibles in here and catechisms? You know, we told you if you do, you're going to take your home away. No, we got rid of them. We don't have them in here. But we got them. Just like when they used to tell a non-sinful falsehood, when they used to have to hide priests in England, Catholic priests, and they hide them under the floorboards, and they're knocking on the door. You got a Catholic priest in here? No, what are you talking about? I don't see anybody. I know Catholic priest in here. But you never stop. Go ahead.
I remember I talked to Ryan a while ago about if I think it was about the vaccines, and, you know, if they tried to force you to take the vaccines, and it's like, okay, we can't go along with that, obviously, it's sinful. but he was kind of saying that, is that the hill I want to die on? You know, I'd rather die for Christ rather than die on, I don't want to get a vaccine.
No,
like, I don't think Brian was suggesting you can take the vaccine at all.
No, but the vaccine is a faith issue. It's not just a health issue. If it's a health issue, you can take it. With your health at your own risk, it's a faith issue. It's aborted fetal cells. It's faith. Yeah. That you're going to commit murder. You're going to be guilty of abortion if you take it.
For the record, Shanute is not saying you can take it. He agrees you cannot take it. He's just trying to say it's not the best way to die for the faith. But in fact, as you will learn, any time you die for the faith, it's equally glorious and equally wonderful. And that's the point I'm going to be making as this lecture goes on.
So essentially it doesn't matter what the topic is, if it's against the faith or
you can never compromise.
Even if it's a tiny sin, you can never do it. You'll have to go to jail for it.
That's right. You can never compromise.
Okay. Now it's just a crappy hill to die on.
It's not. It's the faith. It's the faith. Most of your martyrs, died for stuff like that, just like that. Think are small things. But to us, it's big things, you know. But to the state, it's a small thing. Why don't you just do it? It's not a big deal. But to us, it is a big deal.
For example, the holy elder Eleazar during the Old Covenant era in the time of the Maccabees refused to eat pork because the pagan Greeks are trying to force the Jews to eat pork and to deny their faith and become like Greeks. They were Hellenizing them. And Eleazar said, I will not eat pork. Then they said to him, well, you don't have to really eat pork. We'll give you another meat and we'll pretend it's pork. He says, I can't even do that, because then the young children of Israel will think that I'm eating pork and it's the same thing as denying the faith. And I'd rather die and go to heaven right now than eat pork and live and when I die, go to hell. And now eating pork sounds like a small thing, but it wasn't a small thing. At that time, the Jews, God forbid the Jews to eat pork. It was against God's law. And if he did it, he would have committed a mortal sin. So there's a good example of a small thing that appears to be a small thing, but it's really a big thing. You can read about that in 2 Maccabees chapter 6.
Now, like I said, there's another thing. You can tell non-sinful falsehoods to try to evade certain things. And certain cases, though, you can't lie about certain things. If they ask you, why don't you, for instance, let's say if they try to tell you that the vaccine is okay and it's morally okay, you can never consent to that. Even if it's not morally okay, because they used aborted fetal cells. So that's against the faith. Because remember St. James said in James, I think it's 2:10, he who keeps the whole law but offends on one point becomes guilty of all.
Yeah.
Just one point. If you're saying, okay, I'll take the vaccine and be guilty of murder, you just committed the sin of murder. You can never do something. That's like denying the faith, even, or at least it's immoral. And if you believe that it's okay to do that, you'd be a heretic too. And now you're going to go to hell because of that. But you know, you look at when martyrs are martyred, it's always about, according from the state's perspective, some stupid thing, you know. Watch the movie St. Barbara, when they're telling them, all you got to do is throw a couple pieces of incense on the coal to the false god. Who cares? You don't have to mean it. Just go ahead and do it. It's not a big deal. It's just a few pieces of incense. You can go on and live your life.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd like to think of a better example than the vaccine thing.
Oh, I know what you're saying. But you're saying
there's no other example, really. Yeah. And it's essentially God saying to you, are you going to uphold the faith now, or what are you going to do?
That's right.
Are you going to go to jail?
Yeah. You got people that aren't Catholic and Protestants in this country that are losing their jobs and pensions over what they believe in. Right now, they're losing their jobs and pensions. Look at these people. Can you imagine if we're supposed to be true Catholics? And we cave in? We're wimps. Mm. You're not convicted. You know what the Protestant would say to you? And the Hindu and the Buddhist and even the Jew? You're a hypocrite. It has aborted fetal cells and you're taking it anyway. You're not convicted. And guess what? You just thwarted them from maybe coming into the true Catholic Church. That's why I'm not going to have no wimps in here. Anybody who doesn't have the full Catholic, you can't be a member. You'd be a heretic. See, a lot of your younger guys, younger guys grew up in a really liberal society where no one's being punished for all these years. No one's being judged. There's all this non-condemnation, this mushiness, and you got to get it out of you. And a lot of those movies I sent you are calculated to get it out of you. You look at those movies and you read the Old Testament, not just the New. Because I know if you're reading the Old Testament, I know, and at least in Ryan's case, he would not have asked those questions on... Ryan, don't get me wrong. I'm glad you asked the question. I don't want you to be afraid to ask a question. But you wouldn't... But with your attitude on slavery is all wrong. And if you read the Bible with the true heart, you would be straightened out, not just on slavery, but on killing men, women, and children, and corporal punishment.
There's a good few topics that we, especially as you're saying, the younger people, they're completely foreign to our upbringing, you know, and it's like we just have to look at it from all the angles just to try and get it, wrap our heads around it, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I know, and that's why I said in the beginning when I started out this, I some guy was angry because I called people bastards, you know. So that's when I wrote that whole anger about bastards and anger. It's in the scripture, you know. It's a true word, and I said, you think I'm going to have a bunch of wimps in here as Catholics? Because then they wouldn't be Catholics. They would be nominal Catholics that are wimps. Denying corporal punishment, capital punishment, just judgments and condemnations. I'm not going to have that. I go back and read the history of the true Catholics and how they behave. And even pagans on the natural law will mock you. Like, not nowadays, because everyone's all messed up except for the zealous Muslims and a few zealous groups out there. And Orthodox Jews at least know that you should punish in corporal punishment. But the whole world is clouded under this mushiness. And you got to knock it out of you, or you'll never be a member of the Catholic Church. Never. You can go back into the Nova Soto Church and be with them. Go with the traditionalists and be with them, because they're the same way. Your traditionalists are all mushy, mealy-mouthed mushheads. They're on the slavery issue, on killing people, on just punishments. All these nominal Catholics are weak. Almost all of them, at least that I know of. But especially, like I said, with a lot of you younger guys, if you were reading the Bible, even, you would understand when God ordains, you can ask 1,000 questions. Is why God allowed this kid to be born here on the Americas with the Indians for 1,500 years? And it wasn't just one generation, it was 1,500 years of Indians with their infants and their offsprings and their generations, all in damnation. And that is spiritual slavery.
Yeah, and go ahead. I'd imagine when people do hit their kids today, they're probably doing it in a brutal way. And I think it reminds me of what you said before about when you're angry about something, you don't let it rest in your bosom. You do the thing and then it's done. And I think that's a very healthy relationship with a child, that they know when they've crossed the boundary, but then, you know, an hour or two later, you're back in, you know, I'm your dad, you know, let's go for a walk or go play some football or something.
But you know why people are, you know, by wives and maybe some kids are being beaten the wrong way? Because they weren't being beaten the right way. Because they're all wrong. Mm. And so what happens when you don't beat your kid when you should, he becomes a rebellious brat. Then he really gets you ticked off. And then you maybe kick his ass a little too hard because you waited too long. You didn't get him when he was young. Yeah. You didn't get him for the right reasons.
Yeah, they probably think it's evil when they're doing it, and they're just like, oh well, it's not stopping me now, you know.
If they beat the kid the right way, here's my thing on corporal punishment. Most kids know when they deserve it; they do. The worst thing to do is to punish somebody when they don't deserve it, to spank them or when they don't deserve it. That undermines the whole aspect of corporal punishment. But when they deserve it, they know it. They listen, it gets their attention, and when you don't do it, it's throughout the Bible, you're going to raise a rebellious kid, or you don't do it to your wife when she deserves it, she's going to be rebellious, and then they're going to rebel so much that they're going to get you so angry one day because they're going to do such horrible things to you, you're going to do something real vicious to them. You're going to go off the beam.
In Matthew 10:21, the brother also shall deliver up the brother to death and the father to son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall put them to death.
Kill their own parents because their parents didn't punish them when they were young. Bunch of rebellious kids. Then they realize that their parents are a bunch of jerks too. And then they get them real ticked. And then the kids get ticked off and they start killing their parents. I mean, all because people aren't obeying God's law and taming their children when they're young. The whole world is probably the most rebellious has ever been in the world. Because now, I don't think in the history of mankind, and I read histories. I haven't read every history. So I don't know if there's ever been a culture that ever said, don't spank your kid or hit him when he does wrong. I just don't know if there's, until now, we get this happening. When I was so happy in a Walmart when I heard that lady say that. Because she said, you know, they tell us we're not allowed to hit my kids. They ain't going to tell me what to do. If my kid does something wrong, I'm going to hit him. You see?
Would a stick across the hand, would that be suffice?
Across the hand, across the ass, a whip. You whip them on the back, even. You whip them with a belt. That hurts. I'll tell you, that's one thing my parents, even they were messed up, they did the right way, was corporal punishment. I was corporal punished. I got whipped many times. I tell you what hurts the most, a whip on the back. Why do you think one of your biggest punishments in the military is, and St. Paul, 30 lashes on the back?
And most of your religious orders, before the great apostasy began, have written inside the rule that disobedient monks or nuns, one of the corporal punishments was that they will be flagellated, that they will be whipped on their backs.
Our Lord got lashed on the back unjustly, but that was generally a very good punishment for people. You whip them. You don't have to, if it's your child, you hit him with a belt. You don't want to permanently damage his skin. But I had black and blue marks several times from being whipped. And boy, I tell you, a couple of times that hurts so bad, that gets your attention. And that's, I don't think none of you young kids ever had that. None of young kids never had that, and you needed it. And now you got it.
The key also is like the kid has to know what the punishment is. So like when I was a kid, it was like if you lie about something, it's a spanking. If you do whatever, it's like if it's just like they do something bad and in the heat of the moment you get angry at them and you physically do whatever. But I think it's like there has to be like a structure like, oh, you swore, you got to put the soap in the mouth.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. So, I agree with that. Well, that's true. That's what you just said that, you do it and you're in your right mind when you do it because you're doing it out of justice and you're doing it. And the kid knows it. If you're just angry and you go off the beam and you're going crazy and you overdo it. And also it depends on what the kid did. You don't whip a kid if he did something small. If he did something big, then you give him a good whipping. So it all depends on what the kid did. So you don't want to overpunish, and you also want to let him know why he's being punished, and ahead of time know that, hey, look, if you do this, you're going to get this. But it's not a spontaneous thing where you're acting out of just unrighteous anger, because then that would be wrong. That's obvious. Most of your parents, when they punished, at least when I was, there was a reason, and you knew it. And they would even, you do it again, I'm going to hit you twice as hard, and they warn you. So, but that's what something. Go ahead.
Yeah, but they stopped corporal punishment in schools here in the 80s. I was going to say my caller was probably the last person to get a beating in school. The principal had been saving it up for him, apparently. He was 16. And the law was coming out at 3 p.m. that day or sometime like that. And the principal sent for my brother and his mate to come to the office, and he gave him six slaps each with a leather strap.
Yeah.
And they were like, what was that for? He says, to get it out of my system, because this is the last time I'll be able to do it.
Right. Yeah, so you can remember it. Yeah, so you can remember it. See, that's something I never thought about, because you're 54, I'm 60.
I'm 65. That was a rounded number.
So we went up with the corporal punishment. A lot of young guys out there.
I was in seventh grade, and then I was in public schools in Chicago, and I remember that year that they went after this one teacher, Mr. Parker. He's a black guy, but he would do the corporal punishment. Everybody, oh, Mr. Parker. But when I remember, I was in that year, then they shut it off cold turkey, and then he got in trouble, I think, one time for doing something to a kid. But that was like right around when I was in grammar school that they, in the United States, that they stopped it.
Yeah. See, that that's the attitude that especially your younger kids come in and have to get rid of. Now, some of your younger kids that are street kids don't have that problem where I grew up in Newark, because street punks, they beat one another up daily. You tell a lie, it'll punch you in the face. So it's mostly suburbanite kids. They're not living in a big city where it's not a rough area. Maybe they didn't, and they were spoiled with this not being hit or punished. Or they always say, time out, take time out. I'm not saying you always have to do like corporal punishment. You could like go in your room now and sit there for, or don't eat dinner tonight. Those are good things. You can do that ahead of time before you resort to corporal punishment. But corporal punishment is a no-no. You don't do it anymore. It's gone. And in the Bible, that's how you tame an evil kid. If you have a good kid, you might not ever have to spank him your whole life if he's born good and he stays good and he never did anything wrong. But basically, even you look at little babies, how from their mothers, as soon as they're born, they're trying to move another way and do something different. So
yeah,
Yeah.
So I don't think I ever had to be spanked for the same thing twice just because
you listened.
I knew that if I did it again, I was going to get spanked.
That's exactly it. That's the point. And that's why you're well-mannered today. You are, but don't get mushy and say you can't do it to other people. A lot of your kids that are really totally spoiled wouldn't even want to listen to what I'm saying. And most of your people, when I start talking about the death penalty and corporal punishment, they don't want to hear anything. They call me a barbarian. Go ahead, Dermot.
But I was like, if the kid's a good kid, you wouldn't have to.
You wouldn't have to do it, right? If the kid's a good kid, you may never have to spank him his whole life. But here's what happens if this is the natural law, right? If your kid disobeys you two times in a row and he sticks his tongue out at you, that's a smack. Yeah. And so when the kid pushes you to that point, to me, it's a natural instinct. If it's done for justice, it's a natural instinct. If the kid, go ahead.
I think you'd probably say that you would probably hit the boy a little harder than you would the girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, that's obvious.
Is there like that rules for boys and girls when it comes to corporal punishment, or is it the same rule?
Yeah, I would say like when you're punishing the girls, you don't hit them as hard maybe because they're not as strong as depending. But when they're all young, they're all kind of, you don't want to hit them a permanent wound or any type of permanent damage.
That is in regard to parents punishing their own children. However, if children are punished by the state or adults or children because they committed some type of a crime worthy of corporal punishment that would permanently disable or wound them, then that's justified, such as cutting off a hand for somebody who steals. If children struck their parents in the Old Testament era, it would come to court. If they were found guilty, the parents would stone their own children to death. I quote from Deuteronomy 21:18-21. If a man hath a stubborn and unruly son who will not hear the commandments of his father or mother, and being corrected slighteth obedience, they shall take him and bring him to the ancients of the city and to the gate of judgment, and shall say to them, this our son is rebellious and stubborn. He slighteth hearing our admonitions. He giveth himself to reveling and to debauchery and banquetings. The people of the city shall stone him, and he shall die, that you may take away the evil out of the midst of you, and all Israel hearing it may be afraid. And in Deuteronomy 21:18-21, he that striketh his father or mother shall be put to death. So corporal punishment could be inflicted that causes permanent disabilities and wounds and scars, but that requires a judgment by competent authorities before that type of corporal punishment is inflicted. But the type of corporal punishment that every day is administered by parents to their children, they should not inflict a permanent wound, disability, or scars.
But other than that, depending on how much they have it, you hit them so it hurts, depending on what they did, to the degree of what they did. Because sometimes I get a minor beating, but when you get the major ones, the whip came out, and boy, whoo! And then you deserved it. Like Ryan said here, his testimony, he wouldn't do it again because he was spanked. Now, if they didn't spank him, he'd do it again and again and again. He'd be rebellious like there's no tomorrow. So we grew up in it's all part of humanism and denying original sin and concupiscence in the flesh. And we're in utopia. This is utopia. We don't kill nobody. We don't spank nobody. We don't punish nobody. We don't take nobody in as slaves. What kind of crap is that?
As long as you agree with our religious indifferentism.
Yeah. And that's what's... Yeah, so this is an important lecture for anybody we're talking about here. This definitely part will be posted up to help people to overcome, which I know a lot of younger kids have, because in the suburb areas, not in the cities, though. If you're in the city, maybe they can go too far the other side. But maybe not even then, because when I grew up in the cities, it was always justified, at least when I grew up. I'm not talking about maybe some of the black savages in the inner cities, but maybe even among them, they have their own rules. But where I grew up, there were certain rules, and if you didn't listen, you'd get a beating from your own friends. I always said that the world needs a good ass kicking, the whole world. But slavery is one, and back to the slavery issue, God ordains it for many different purposes. People can cry and scream all they want. Oh, how good I am. How good my son was. I don't deserve it. Shut up. If God ordained it, accept it. And if you accept it humbly, it'll come out for your good one way or another. So you have to accept the fact, like the black African slaves that came over here, it was justified slavery, even though evildoers were making money off the business of selling slaves. And that's the way God motivates a lot of pagans to punish his own chosen people, or any group of people, any group of people. I mean, the Jews were taken into Egyptian bondage. Nebuchadnezzar took the Jews into Babylonian bondage as slaves, and so forth and so on.
God called Nebuchadnezzar his servant.
He did. He says, I called him. He's doing my will by taking my peoples and making them slaves for 70 years in Babylon. And that's it.
He eventually saved his soul.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar did. Yeah, he converted. It's in the Bible. God converted him. It's a good story if you read that one about Nebuchadnezzar. God ended up converting him before he died. It's a great story. But that's why I mentioned the Old Testament last week. If you're not reading it, and a lot of people are afraid of it, they're scared of it, they think he's a bloody God, you guys better get some guts. You better start understanding that God kills people. There's corporal punishment. Blood is shed. We're not living in paradise. This isn't utopia. Get tough. Get manly. Look at the Taliban people over there. They're way better than we are on the natural plane, the Taliban guys, with those beards walking around guns and beating women that are disobeying and walking out in public and acting like men, killing homos because they deserve to be killed. Look what the world says about the Taliban people. They're barbarians. They're savages. That's what they say about me. You want to convert people like the Taliban people and Orthodox Jews and conservative people that understand that, you better speak the right way, or you can't even be Catholic.
Eli went to hell because he refused to punish his sons.
Right. Eli admonished his sons were desecrating the temple, and they were bringing in whores in the temple. And they were like fornicating in the temple, and they were really bad, and they were taking the tithe money, stealing a lot of the tithe money. So Eli came in and he told him, don't do this. This is wrong. So he condemned them, right? So he judged them and he condemned them, but he didn't punish them. So in the scriptures, it's one of my favorite memorization verses, but I think it's 1 Kings 15:23.
It's actually 1 Kings 3:13.
It says, I will punish thy house for iniquity forever, because you knew your sons did wickedly and you did not chastise them. You condemned them, but you didn't chastise them. That's like having a law, but you don't enforce it. And he was, his whole house was punished because of his lack of punishing and chastising his own sons. And you get this strength, you guys who are a little weaker on this stuff, like Ryan and Thomas, you're a little bit weaker on it. You get this strength by reading the Old Testament. I'm telling you, and not just the Old Testament. Look at the movies I got in there, even with the pagans on their natural sense of justice, like the Rome movie or Richard the Lionheart, when he's going out there killing Muslims. And he came out and he said, it's no sin to kill Muslims, but it's a blessing from the glory of God. So, and Charlemagne, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you get a bad rap about the whole, you're brutal and barbaric, all this kind of stuff. At the end of the day, you're tackling subjects that are necessary to talk about. You don't ignore, you know, God is loving and forgiving, but they're not the topics that need addressing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. What they're doing is the opposite. I always talk about the love of God too, but they always talk about the love of God and not about his wrath. There's another verse that says, mercy and wrath are with him. He's mighty to forgive and to pour out indignation. They forget the wrath part. And that's why all prophets, when did he come to remind people of God's wrath and punishments? And so people don't want to hear about it. Tough. How many times go ahead.
When God says, I can't remember the verse, but he says, I'll bring evils upon you. So I would assume that includes punishments, even original sin. Yeah. These are not things God wants per se, but he has to do them because
when he says God brings evils upon you, it doesn't even mean original sin. He means punishments. He means punishments because God never does sin. He never brings sin upon you, nor does he do sin. With evil in context, and I have that in my Bible commentary, but we'll talk about that in a second that you guys have. Evil means punishments. I will bring plagues. I will bring famines. I will bring strangers to come in and conquer you. I will make you sick. I will give you leprosy. That's what evils means. When God brings evils upon you.
Because of the original sin that we brought about, he gives us punishments from how we react to that.
Yeah, how we react to the original sin, to the concupiscence of the flesh, and to his other commandments, mortal sins that we commit, sins that we commit, voluntary sins. So that's why he's punishing us with all these evils. And when it says God does evil, that's what it means. He punishes. It doesn't mean he sins or he makes you sin or causes you to sin. It means he punishes you. That, so evil has a double meaning. Yeah.
Like he would love not to have to punish you, but he has to because you have to know there's a repercussion for this. Like ideally, he'd love you just to follow the law and the commandments, and then you wouldn't have to do it. So.
You're right. Exactly. I said one of my lectures, or I said it many times though, but I don't, it's somewhere. But I said, God doesn't want to kill or hurt anybody. It's not his will to bring harm upon anybody. He doesn't want to hurt, kill, or do anything. He does it because you bring it upon yourself, because you rebelled against God, and because God wants to protect his good people who you are killing, who you are harming. So it's God's way of protecting his own chosen people. So God, if I don't punish these people, there's no heaven. If he let these people in heaven, they would be punishing his own chosen people. So it's not God's, God doesn't take pleasure in, he takes pleasure in justice, yes. But there's even scripture which says, when I say many times, says the just man will dance on a roof and rejoice when he washes his hands in the blood of the sinner. So there's that kind of a rejoicing, but God wishes he never had to do it. It was never in God's will to want to hurt or kill anybody. We brought it upon ourselves by rebelling against God. And rebelling, and when you rebel against God, you rebel against everything good that he gave you. And if he didn't punish you and he let everyone run wild, then there's no heaven. Heaven becomes hell. This is important because you can never become a member of the Catholic Church believing that there's no such thing as justified slavery for generations as a people. Or that there's justified corporal punishments and capital punishment. You can never become a member. That's it. Go back to where you ever belong. Go to someone else. Go to the Mushy Diamond Brothers. The Diamond Brothers don't even ask people what they believe in. And they have no abjurations. They don't require anything. You know, there's one person I talked all about. Oh, I believe in corporal punishment, right? I gave him a couple slaps in the face and then that went out the window real quick. Yeah. Oh, you're not when it comes to you. Oh, read the Bible. God slapped the person when he's evil, except for Joe Smith. Don't hit him. He's hands off of him, the poor puppy. And I tell you something, when Antichrist comes to power, you're going to be hoping that you have some strong arm coming there helping you, not some mushy little Mr. Rogers kind of wimpy guy.
Yeah.
Look at Attila the Hun. Look, God used him to punish even some of the bad Catholics back in his day. I mean, on the natural plane, men are nowadays. I don't think we've ever had such a wimpiness in the world of today. I don't think there's ever been. Maybe some Greek colony that wanted to be democracy and try to have no. Maybe some Greek tried to do it somewhere, some Greek. But when you look at a lot
Because the show with the wimpiness, it's actually the most brutal time at the same time.
Exactly. Because they hate one another. That's when you get the unjustified killings, the unjustified punishments, the unjustified beatings, the smirks, the sneers, the hatreds, the despising. That's when all that stuff comes out. And it comes out all the wrong way. It comes out like most horribly. And the very devil who's inspiring them by telling them, don't condemn and judge or punish anybody, wait till you go to hell and see what he does to you. Mm-hmm. I was attacked by him a lie. I know what they do. So, I mean, this is a big obstacle for many people to overcome, younger kids especially, that are raised up without being punished properly or brainwashed in school about killing people in slavery. Oh, slavery's the... I just tell you how stupid it is. It's amazing that we're talking about slavery, but we'll end this soon anyway, but... I was reading a book on famous so-called Catholics who made America. And this one guy, Taney, he was a Supreme Court justice. He favored slavery, right? And so they're trying to make excuses for him. Then they come out and he says something like this. I got the quote even. And then the author of the book says, while we all know that slavery is against the natural law, it wasn't all that obvious to the church fathers. You guys find something wrong with that statement?
He's admitting that the church fathers taught it.
Yes. And he's saying that they didn't have the natural law. If it's the natural law, how could it not be known from the time of Adam and Eve, you jerk? He said, not until modern times did we realize that slavery is against the natural law. Well, if it's the natural law, Adam and Eve had it. And all their ancestors, you stupid jerk. I read that. I read stuff like that. I want to rip that guy's skin off. Even though he's dead in hell now and pour vinegar on him. That's how stupid that statement is. So then you're telling me that the church fathers who supported slavery, St. Paul, God Almighty himself, the author of the natural law, broke the natural law. Here's a guy that doesn't even read the Bible to say something like that. I just took a quote out last night. I can read it to you.
Here's the quote from the book titled Catholic Makers of America, edited by Stephen M. Crossan, published by Christendom Press, Fort Royal, Virginia. And it's the section on Roger Brooke Taney, who was a Supreme Court justice, nominal Catholic, who supported slavery. And this is on page 158. And here's what the author of the book says. And thirdly, the fact that slavery is a great evil and is prohibited by the natural law is not something that which is readily apparent for most of human history and was not even certainly taught by the church. The guardian interpreted natural law. So the church doesn't even know the natural law. And the church here, he means not just the apostles and all the prophets from the Old Testament and the New Testament apostles and disciples, but also God Almighty himself who supports slavery. So God didn't even know the natural law. But watch, he's going to say, us modern men, we now know the natural law. And all they didn't know it, okay? The content of the natural law remains almost entirely as it always has been, but is only over time, as man has become more civilized and morally sophisticated, that he has been able to fathom certain aspects of it. So modern man in these days of the great apostasy, who are more faithless, more immoral, more evil and of all time in the history of mankind, these are the men that have the truth, and all the past holy men, the prophets from the Old Testament era, the holy high priests, the apostles, the disciples, the true popes, the church fathers, and God Almighty himself did not know the natural law, even though they had it. They didn't recognize it. They couldn't understand it. There's so much, many heresies in this statement. It's unbelievable. The arrogance of this bastard. Then he goes on to say, this is the way it was with slavery. Statements have been made against it by eminent Catholic teachers and churchmen over the centuries, but it has never authoritatively been taught as wrong by the magisterium up to Taney's time. So now the whole magisterium of the church, as I say again, they had no idea that this is part of the natural law, when even the pagan has the natural law, and he knows it. You can deny the natural law, you can pretend you don't know it, but it's still in your heart. You can harden your heart, you can cover it over, but it's still there, and you know it. But now modern men declare that slavery's evil is part of the natural law, because they use this excuse to defend their heresy. But it's so bad because it drags in this other heresy that all the past holy men, the true holy men, were stupid, were idiots. They didn't know about the natural law, but they do. And they're not just dragging in holy men. They're dragging God Almighty in and Jesus Christ because they supported slavery. So God didn't even know the natural law. Who's the author of the natural law? And he goes, Taney lived in a time when the church's teaching was only beginning to come down firmly against slavery. This is a new revelation he's emitting, a new teaching. It's not coming from God. It's not coming from the church. It's coming from the devil. And this started like a big time in the 1800s. But even before that, you had these apostate antipopes teaching that slavery's evil. That's what he's talking about. Now, some of your church fathers may have said they didn't recommend slavery during the New Covenant era, or you should try to eliminate in certain cases, but they didn't come out and condemn it.
That's where that thinking leads to, that mushiness, to something what that guy said right there. Now you're not just dragging in the church fathers and calling them heretics against the natural law, but God Almighty himself.
Yeah.
You see how important this topic is?
Defending it, you have to emphasize being brutal is against natural law. Do you know? And then, to me, it makes a lot of sense then. It's like, okay, yeah, fine. You just don't go nuts with it. But
What do you mean? What are you saying? Being brutal? You can be brutal if you have to. Killing people is brutal. That's about as brutal as you can get.
With the corporal punishment that...
Oh, cruel. Sorry, what's the word? Unjust. Unjustified. 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 Yeah.
What's the word? When I explain to someone, you can hit children, but just don't go too far. What's a better word than too far there?
The proper word is unjust corporal punishment. So you have to make sure the corporal punishment meets the crime or the sin that the child committed. But corporal punishment could span all the way from just a minor spanking all the way up to chopping off a hand, you know, cutting off a foot, poking out an eye. And it could even go as far as capital punishment if the child's really bad. Now, when parents are punishing their own children, the rule is that they should not cause any permanent disability, a permanent wound, or a scar. But if the child commits a crime that's worthy of disability or a permanent wound or even death, that has to be determined by a competent authority. For example, in the Bible, if a child hit his own parent, they would bring it before the high priest or the religious ruler, and they would judge it against the child, and then the parents would stone their own child to death. So it all depends on the crime that the child committed, and so you want to make sure that the punishment meets the crime and doesn't exceed it or doesn't underdo it neither. Because if you go too far and you punish the kid more severely than he deserves, then that's what we call unjust punishment. But corporal punishment can exceed the all the way up to capital punishment, to death, depending on the crime. For instance, even when you have people in the state, when they pass laws that if so-and-so, if you get caught stealing, we're going to cut your hand off, you know, or which I happen to believe is if somebody was stealing, I would probably lock them in jail for 6 months and warn them that if they did it a second time, I'd cut one of their hands off. And then if I caught them a third time, I'd cut their other hand off. And then a fourth time, I would give them the capital punishment. But the same applies to children. So really, when parents are punishing their own kids, they should not do anything that permanently wounds them, causes permanent disability, causes scars. But if their child is committing a sin or something that's worthy of worse punishments, in other words, worthy of a permanent wound, permanent disability, or a scar, then they take it before a competent authority. The competent authority makes the judgment, and then the child suffers the punishment, whether it be cutting off his hand, poking out his eye, cutting off one of his foot, or even giving them capital punishment.
In Ireland, we have hundreds of stories of the nuns and the principals and all these kind of things that it sounds brutal to me, like they're going too, like, I'm trying to think of examples.
We had the Christian brawlers in Derry, and apparently they were brutal. You know, they went over and beyond what was required, you know.
Yeah.
With physical beatings.
Yeah.
But my father used to tell me about them, like there was one Christian brawler, he went crazy, like would almost beat them till they were ready to pass out, you know.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's bad, yeah.
Where do you draw the line? When do you, you know, where's the cruelty line?
Yeah,
which goes,
yeah, that's,
what's required?
Yeah, that's, it's real simple, no permanent damage and no scar.
And it must also be just punishment, because it's true, you can go too far and be over unjust, and that undermines the whole concept of corporal punishment. Even in my day, some of the nuns, even though I was disciplined by them, some of them were brutal in the sense of unjust. I don't like to use the word brutal, because you could be brutal, but they were unjust, and they did administer corporal punishment for no reason, for a wrong reason, or when you didn't do something bad at all. And that really undermines the whole concept of corporal punishment, and even in the end makes the kid more rebellious, so that when he is punished when he deserves it, it doesn't take the proper effect. So that is correct. We do have, there are certain people out there that are unjust when they administer corporal punishment. They're too severe. And some of the nuns that I went to school with, they were that way also, when you didn't do anything wrong at all. And then they were overly excessive in their corporal punishments. And that definitely undermines the whole concept of corporal punishment. So that's to be condemned also.
Father put it was like it was for like getting a question wrong.
You know? Oh no, that's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
This is what I'm saying, yeah. Richard. It happened rampantly, and you hear stories from every parent in the country that this happened.
Yeah. Well, it has to be for a justified reason, and my article explains all of this, which I will post up when we're done, and you'll get to read it. It's really good. And I say you can't punish somebody more than they deserve for whatever they did. If you overpunish them because a kid forgot to do his homework and then you beat him silly, well, then you just undermine corporal punishment. That's unjust. That's wrong.
Well, that's it. That's why I was saying when I'm explaining to people, I need to tell them there's a line, because in Ireland, I don't know, must have been much worse than other countries, because as Dermot says, you get a question wrong and you get beaten.
Yeah. No, you can go too far. I agree. Yeah, you
and
could.
So when I say we believe in corporal punishment, they're the images they're going to get in their.
But I'll read you. I'll show you. I'll read you what I got right here on corporal punishment. Okay, there are just reasons for corporal punishment. Okay, such as to punish and tame disobedient and sinful children and adults, for example. And this is Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it away. Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou strike him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. And, okay, from whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. And he scourges every son whom he receiveth. This is St. Paul speaking. But if you be without chastisements, whereof you are made partakers of, then you are bastards and not sons. And also Proverbs, a whip for a horse, a snaffle for an ass, and a rod for the back of fools. Also, in speaking of secular authority, St. Paul says, for he is God's minister to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, fear, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. So, I go, hence it is the duty of parents to administer corporal punishment to their children when they deserve it, a husband to his wife, if she deserves it, in the state if possible, and others to a husband if he deserves it. Now, there's something in here, you're right. I got to put in the parameters we were just mentioned. I did put it in here for slaves, but I didn't put it in for corporal punishment. So I'm going to add, that's good we're talking about that. Now, here's what I said about slavery, though.
And in addition to that, not to have a punishment that meets the crime.
Yes, that meets the crime. You're right. Those three parameters, I'm going to add that. See, that's good we're going on. But here's what, I got that in slavery, though. I got it right here in the same section, but I didn't put it with the corporal punishment. Here's the slavery section. Slavery is not intrinsically evil, and hence there are just reasons for slavery. For example, God ordained that his faithful chosen people should have slaves. Leviticus 25, let your bondmen and bondwomen, slaves, be of the nations that are round about you, and of the strangers that sojourn among you, or that were born of them in your land, these you shall have for your slaves. So there, Ryan, even the children are slaves. That's Leviticus 25. But God has also ordained many times that his obstinately sinful chosen people be made slaves, such as in Egypt, yeah. Babylon, and Rome. And now here's what St. Peter says. Slaves, be subject to your masters with all fear. St. Paul says, slaves, obey in all things your masters. And St. Paul even condones Catholics owning Catholic slaves. This is 1 Timothy 6:1-2. Whosoever are slaves under the yoke, let him count their masters worthy of all honor, lest the name of the Lord and his doctrine be blasphemed. But they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but serve them the rather because they are faithful and beloved, who are partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Catholics can even have Catholic slaves. That's 1 Timothy 6:1-2. So, hence slavery that is ordained by God to punish and humble the wicked or to try the righteous is good slavery. But slavery that is not ordained by God is evil and thus sinful slavery. For an example of unjust war and slavery, see part of the one Ryan was talking about. Then we talk about the unjust treatment of slaves is sinful. Hence, slaves must be punished not more or less severely than they deserve. Same thing with the corporal punishment. I'm going to put that up in that section. And slaves must never be immorally abused. For example, if a slave is not killed for a crime worthy of death, then it is unjust treatment of the slave because he deserves death. However, if a slave is put to death for a crime not worthy of death, then this is murder and unjust treatment of the slave. Here's a quote, torture and fetters are for a malicious slave. And if he be not obedient, bring him down with fetters, but be not excessive towards anyone more than they deserve, and do not no grievous thing without judgment. If thou have a faithful slave, let him be to thee as thy own soul. Treat him as a brother, because in the blood of thy soul thou hast gotten him. Hence, there are just reasons for torture. Oh, I got torturing too. That goes on. That's on torture. So you read these things, you accept it. Or you accept what you guys were taught in school when you went to school, and your colleges, and your universities, and your high schools, and your grammar schools, and what you read with all your traditional
nominal
Catholics. That's another thing you got to watch out. If you're talking too much with these traditionalists and you're still trying to debate them and they're bringing these topics up, there's a little curse you can incur there because you're maybe talking to them too much. You shouldn't be listening to their stuff that much. You should be reading more of my stuff or reading the Bible and reading what's true and only go over there maybe to refute them once in a while because then you'll fall prey to their seductions. their wimpiness.
Just,
yeah.
I had an experience, very profound experience this morning. I actually posted on it, where I was wondering what to do about my brother-in-law, Paul, and posted about. He's very strong in his faith, but I can't get him away from the diamond stuff. I can't get him to take the next step because of his son here, and he lives in America, in Philadelphia. He's a very strong diamond adherent.
Good. Yeah.
Argument with him. Yeah. And this is taxing my brain about Paul because I'm like friends with him. We're pretty close. And I just need to get him, because his son, Kieran, he dismisses your stuff, you know. I've given it to my brother-in-law, Paul, without your name on it, and he agrees with it. You know that, Kieran?
Yeah.
That's
frustrating. And
the desecrations term, if he doesn't accept you can't have nudes in churches and cathedrals, he's a terrible will. Like, it's just really obvious stuff.
I haven't showed him the desecrations yet, but I'm talking about my brother. This is my nephew's father. He lives about 20 miles from me. I was on my mind this morning to ask Richard yourself about it, Richard. And you kind of came to me in a dream, and basically you were saying you have to listen to me first because he's going to have a load of questions and you're going to have to answer them. I thought in my dream I was listening to an audio on the phone, and it shook me out of the dream, you know. And like, I don't know what source this was from, but it did feel, you know, an angelic presence or something. It just vanished, and then my phone rang and it was my brother-in-law.
Yeah. Now, what was the dream? Repeat it to me again, Dermot, the dream.
The dream was, I was on my mind before I went to sleep that I need to ask you what's the way forward with my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do.
And so then he calls you the next day.
Yeah, I have a dream about you that you're talking to me. Then I come out of that dream, I think it's real. I think I'm listening to you on my phone.
Yeah.
And then just I come awake, my brother-in-law phones me.
Yeah.
To
me, it sounds like God wants you to witness to him and try to convert him. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And like TJ said, one of the first things I'd show him is the desecrations. And then you would say, if the Diamond Brothers rightly teach that non-Catholics can't hold offices in the Catholic Church, then if they don't want to be hypocrites, they have to condemn all the apostate antipopes from the Renaissance Church. And then you can show them you show them the evidence. As a matter of fact, and the Diamond Brothers have other things that they hold, and I got. But the first thing, like TJ said, is the desecrations. That's the first thing we hit them with. They got Jupiter, Apollo. What do you think about that? You know. Then you can show them some of the other heresies they hold, and the Clementine Vulgate, where Clementine, you know, and all the other stuff that problems that they have. But it seems to me that God did want you to witness to them. Sometimes God, you know, he wants you to try to give him some information. Go ahead.
They deny the salvation dogma also.
Oh, yeah, because they believe like Protestant kids could be saved and all that. They got some other problems. I got a whole section against the diamonds on my topic index. They can look at that too. And they were going to. Yeah.
What actually got me with diamonds was your testimony on them. And especially that mailing list lawsuit. That was just
Me off. Yeah. There's a lot there. There's a lot on that. You can send him to that topic index. Oh, and Ryan, by the way, do you mind if I post it? I know I got a little rough on you in this lecture, but do you mind if I post this up, or do you want me to edit it out, the stuff that we're talking about on slavery?
No, you know, it's better that you post it up, because there's probably some people who are having the same thoughts that I was thinking.
So you don't mind if I do it then? Because that's something I would...
No.
Okay. All right. So that's goodwill on your part. But even if you said no, you could still be goodwill. I would have left it out. Because you notice I do that with certain things when I know. So I'll especially do it like when Thomas asked me a question when I don't understand exactly what he means, but he meant something else, and I thought he meant what he didn't mean, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, you didn't misunderstand my question.
Okay.
I
know.
Yeah.
All right.
I had a little...
Keep praying, keep reading the scriptures. God will knock it out of you. Keep watching some of those movies and get tough and on it. God will help you through it, and you'll get strong. And I like that one verse where it says we should all be manly, and that means even women too, like, you know, courageous. But Dermot, like I would say, we'll end it soon. Tell them about the desecrations. Send them the links about where I go against the Diamond Brothers. And see what happens, you know? I mean, it's
Only fact is, if he sees your name on it, because of his son's influence, it probably shut down right away, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm just struggling with the way to go forward with him. Should I show him stuff with your name on it, to disguise your name and that?
Oh, I got it. Yeah, you mean his son's hiding stuff from him?
No, it's not that. He's such a Diamond Brother adherent.
Oh, okay.
He was listening to RGMI. His son would go into one and really admonish him, you know.
Yeah.
He kept listening to this. He says this about Aquinas. He says this, blah, 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 you know, that kind of way.
Yeah. So, well, a lot of times with the Diamond Brothers' tactic is character assassination. And so, like, if you can say a few things, Ibrani's a barbarian, he's this, he's that, you know. And a lot of times I say, okay, let's take for granted that I'm a barbarian. I'm everything you said I was. Let's get back to the faith, okay? What about the desecrations?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, talk about me all you want, you know, even though at times so many lies. We have people leaving here saying stuff that was so untrue and unbelievable. Yeah, go ahead.
That's
it. Attack the messenger, but not the message. Yeah.
I've heard so many rumors. I even heard one guy, he said, well, what they really believe is that there was no Pope since the 300s, but they don't post that on their website.
Oh,
they think it'll scare people.
Well, that's
so they just say 1130. But
that's interesting. Yeah, see, there you go. Anything I believe, I post. If I don't, then I don't. Then there's something wrong with me. You know, then I'm a hypocrite.
I knew that they were lying the instant that they told me, because I said I'm in constant contact with them. I know that's not what they believe.
Yeah, see, and because they want me, you know what they wanted me to go back and say I'm going to deny the whole church. I had people left here, like we had one woman left here. And I don't think she even said it, but the people who knew her, some people that left here, and they said, you know, Richard's so vicious that because we eat together on the Lord's Day, that when they were eating pasta for spaghetti, he had her put mustard on it. He won't let her put tomato sauce on it. He made her eat pasta with mustard on it, you know? I mean, you got to hear the things they say. I said, this is crazy. I mean, are you nuts? I gave her pasta with mustard on it. What the heck is that all about? Oh, it's unbelievable. Go ahead.
Dermot's question was centered on, can he disguise that he's given this information from yourself?
Yes, he could. Yeah. Yes, he could. Wise as a serpent, simple as a dove. Don't say it came from me. And then maybe they'll read it. You know, it is. I mean, because once I don't even want to read it, you know. We had one guy left here with his family, and he wrote a whole article again. What a barbarian I am. I took this as a compliment. You know, I tell the brothers that a true Catholic is half civilized and half barbarian. We don't lose all our barbarianism. You know, we're half and half. I mean, we do both. You know, I mean, we're not wimps. You know, we're not wimps. Yeah, go ahead.
A friend as well. You've met her, TJ. You know, Anna Bunkrana.
TJ? Yeah, she seems really lovely, like, strips by herself.
I've had to disguise Richard's name off stuff too. I give it, before I was even in here or involved with yourselves, I used to watch your stuff, and some of it was profound, and I shared it with Anne. And then I was asked her what she thought of it. But she agreed with it. Like, that guy, he sounds very angry or something, and he uses bad language. And I was like, what bad language? Oh, he uses the S word.
Yeah. Shit, bastard, yeah.
I'm shit, man. Yeah, that's in the Old Testament. Yes, I know it is, but at least they call it dung in the Old Testament.
Yeah, exactly, right.
You know, and since, I don't know, he's very in your face or something like that. So she didn't like the way it was being delivered, but I couldn't get her to disagree with any of it, you know?
Yeah, you know what the problem is with most people? They're rebellious. So when I hear somebody dictating to them, you got to do this. It doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody. He's a dictator. He's crazy. And they're so mushy. Use the word bastard. The guy went crazy. Or use the word shit. He goes nuts. These people are like thinking we're living in paradise and utopia. They're totally refined. They don't want to hear about killing, death, blood, or any of these things. This is precisely what they need to hear about. But you know what? I do that just because I do it, because it's natural. It's normal for me. And it attracts normal people on the natural plane. Because we got cowboys and cowgirls around here. They're not wimps. They're not going to come into a church with a bunch of Mr. Rogers wimpy people. Your nominal Catholics are some of the most wimpiest people in the world. Absolutely. And I include the traditionalists. Wimpy, faggy, weak, And that's not the way of the true God. It's not the way of God's chosen people. It's not even according to the natural law. And if I was to talk like the way they want me to talk, we'd have a bunch of wimps in here. A bunch of liberal, left-leaning, spoiled brat, rebellious wimps. That's who would he have in here? You know, and you wouldn't have a true, yeah.
I think Anne is from the perspective that, well, I know the Vatican II Church are all apostates, and she's willing to look at the information that goes before them. She's like, as long as the information adds up, that's fine. But she just she just does her own thing, you know. She just believes like, oh, you don't have an authority. I'll just keep a simple Catholic life here.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Two things already, without bringing Richard's name on here. I said Pius the 12th and supported the Jews, and she was like, well, I'll need to look into that. So that was okay. The next day, I seen her. She had information printed out, photocopied for me. Just basically saying what I told her, that he called the apostate Jews brethren.
Yeah.
So that was like to get her off Pius the 12th. Now, I'm struggling with her on Fatima. That's
it's going to be a big one. You know what? She needs to see the faith for signs and wonders, but if she doesn't like to listen to me, you know, that's why Ryan did that. Ryan was kind of wise, Ryan Shinoda, by doing the thing he did. Because, like me, I yelled, right? I'm not even going to stop, because that's what I want people to be. But sometimes you got to be wise as a serpent, simple as a dove. And then you can trap them and say, well, this is the same thing Richard is teaching, you know?
Actually, she's seen Ryan's video, and it's actually exactly what I thought would happen with kind of normal people. It's way above their
yeah, that,
intelligence.
That video
she was said it was too smart for her.
No, you know, she's lying. Ryan speaks too fast. I thought it was only me. Now Ryan's getting dragged into it. He wasn't talking fast at all. Ryan was talking like I talk fast, you know. But not Ryan.
I told him about the introduction. Like I kind of helped him with the introduction, and I just had to space it out, give it a few more seconds, let the ideas just settle. Like,
you know,
still think that to this day. It's just bang, 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 bang at the start.
You notice in one of my videos, I said, I heard it all. I talk too fast. I talk too loud. Slow up the video or get a transcript. That's what I used to say, you know, get a transcript and read it. You know, because it's
funny, Richard, when you used to have your videos on YouTube before they got taken down recently.
Yeah.
There's a function on YouTube where you can double speed the video. I would almost always watch your videos on double speed.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's crazy. Because you want to get it done quick, and you're interested in the truth. Yeah. If you care about that, that's an excuse people make, you know, and they don't. And what Ryan said, and even in my book on the desecration of Ryan's thing, that's not cerebral. It's not like brain surgery. It's ABC. Here's Jupiter. He's a false god. He's on the door in the Vatican. What don't you understand about that? And if you don't understand that, then you're mentally retarded. I mean, you know, that's to me. Yeah.
Well, I focus on how bad Francis is and how bad, you know, John Paul II was, rather than go further, you know?
Yeah.
But I did get her on Pius the 10th on his catechism.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She wanted me to order a catechism for her. She has no computer. So I ordered the catechism for her, and I was thinking, this is a good way to get her, because I know that he denies the salvation dogma. And
When
the catechism arrived, I showed her where he denied the salvation dogma, and she was really taken aback.
That's good.
This is a heresy, isn't it? Well, got her to say that's a heresy. And that kind of heretics got hold of Catholic Christians. So she nodded her head.
Yeah, and Pius the 10th is one of her heroes. He's the hero.
Oh, yeah.
He's the good guy. He
is.
I believed it too. We all did. Until
he has to be involved with SSPX way back.
And, you know, when you look at all this stuff they did, it's amazing. You know, people are good actors. Like this dope that's in there now. Let's not even talk about him. We'll be here for another hour. But they're good actors. And the evidence on the desecrations is not too cerebral. It's not like the Divine Essence book or Confirmation or the Holy Eucharist. It's pretty basic. It's like Janus. See that guy got two faces? That's a false god. See that? That's the Vatican door. Let's go inside and look at see, that's Apollo. See, read under there. Apollo, you know. Go ahead.
He doesn't talk like that, right? Ryan is pretty mechanical and straightforward.
I know. Bang, 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 bang. I mean, if you don't listen.
No gaps.
I wanted it to appeal to everybody. So the people who were...
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted it to appeal to the... I don't want to say smart and stupid people, but... I wanted it to be for everybody.
Well, you know, what you did there proves my point, because even what he just said, then they said Ryan talks too fast. I said, well, now that just proves my point. It's got nothing about talking fast. You just don't like what Ryan said even. But the presentation, he doesn't even, the way you presented was very, very good. I'm going to link to it too, as a matter of fact. As soon as you guys come into the church, I'm going to be linking to your sites and your thing on the chronology. I'm going to link to that. I'm going to link to your, I think it was a very good, I know why you did it too. Because it's not me, because they look at me, they get that, you know. But now if they're looking at it from you and they got a complaint, what's going on here, you know? But still the same.
The thing with Anne is she is very intelligent, you know, she's very well read. So it might have been the American accent that was slipping her up.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
So I think she is making excuses, to be honest.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to accept it.
You know what I like? St. Paul has a verse. He says, I may be crude in speech, but not in power and wisdom. So I'm glad gave me this kind of a wise guy voice, because you know what? A lot of people like it, too. It goes two ways. Manly people like it. Wimpy people hate it. So, okay, take your side.
I said, but I know it's not for everybody. You know, that Diamond's monotone voice used to put me off.
Monotone. It's like a robot. Monotone, actually, no emotion.
That's the angle I would have taken with Ryan, that he reminds me more like the Diamonds, whereas I prefer... I'm not criticizing the video. I think it's a brilliant video.
Yeah.
It brings up the topic that everybody has their own preaching styles.
But no, you know, there's a time to be monotone, and there's a time also to be maybe passionate. So Ryan's, I think it was perfect. But with the Diamond Brothers, they're always monotone. They don't have any room for righteous anger or rage. And as a matter of fact, that's a big thing. You know what? They'll tell you today. This is a stupid statement. They go, the guy who loses his temper at first and gets angry during the debate is the guy who loses the debate. Well, that's the most stupid thing in the whole world I ever heard. Well, look, if we're debating about the Catholic faith and blasphemies against God, I get angry and I speak up. And if you don't do it, then I tell you one thing right now. You don't love God. You don't love God. You're a scholastic, and that's all you are. And goodwill people, I get as many people on the other side saying they like it the way I talk like this because it appeals to them, because they don't like hypocrisy.
Reverse it.
Yeah.
You should reverse it. If you don't get angry when issues of the faith are...
Then you don't love God. Then you don't love God.
You've lost the debate.
Yeah, I remember Jeremiah 6:11. He says, I'm full of the fury of the Lord. I'm wearied from holding it in. Pour it out. And so, if you want to just talk real scholastic about blasphemies and you don't even get angry, you don't emotional, what the heck is that? That's a Stoicy kind of thing, by the way, also. Where you're not supposed to show your emotions. But that's a modern thing today in your non-judgmental society. Don't get angry and don't lose your temper and don't show anger. That's one of their heresies of today. So I think we'll probably call it near an end soon. We had some really good stuff to talk about here today.
Can I just say one more thing? If I did sound monotone, it's because I had like an 80-page document that I was reading, like a script. Where, like with you have like notes and you just... You go off the notes and then...
No, but I had no problem. I had no problem with that. Matter of fact, a lot of mine, when you see me, some of my lectures, I'm reading, and that's the way I sound, because I'm reading, because you're reading off a script. Yeah. I had no problem with it. I mean, you'll catch some of my lectures that are like that. I got, especially when I'm reading stuff, you know, you'll notice it too, some of my lectures, I'm just, because sometimes I just want to read, and I wanted to get the facts in there, because you know why I do that sometimes, why I read? Because... When I get righteously angry, I go off the topic. And sometimes I don't want to go off the topic. I want to get, like you just said, Ryan, I want to get it done in 1 hour. And if I don't read it off the script, I'm going to start like, you know, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And then here we are for 2 hours. So there's a place and time for it.
It's just another note on Anne. I think she, if you show her the pictures of desecrations, she'll reject them straight up. Taking the next step is another thing. To reject them as heretics against the faith and morals.
Yeah. Okay.
But the other thing is, she wants to destroy this broken cross. You know that cross that John Paul II carries around.
Yeah.
Broken.
Yeah.
Is that a desecration or?
I don't know. You know what? Here's another thing. Okay, they get technical on some things that are borderline and you're not sure about, but it discredits them. And I'll give you just one little example here. They really got angry at him because one time John Paul II was sitting on his papal throne and he had an upside down cross above his head, and they went, "That's satanic. It's a pure sign." I went, "Wait, that's too obvious." At first I thought there's something wrong about that. That's too clear. I believe that it may be true, but I went, "There's something wrong about this. He's not going to be that out in the open." So I studied it, right? And I found out that in the Maritime Prison, they have an upside down cross to represent St. Peter. So with the Diamond Brothers had a whole thing on that. It's Luciferianism, satanic. And I went, and I was down with Michael Rios in Texas at that time. And I went, "Don't go along with this. There's something wrong with it. I don't believe," because they were big on signs and wonders. The faith wasn't always on the top of their platter. They go for these goofy signs and wonders. And I went, "I don't believe it. It's just too obvious." And then I found out it's going to backfire, because then they're going to come out and say, "Guess what, Diamond Brothers? That represents Peter, the upside down cross. And it's in the Maritime Prison, an upside down cross where Peter miraculously baptized people." So it backfired on them. And so, like, that's the way I think about the broken cross is gross. It's disgusting to me.
But when I was in the Novus Ordo, Protestants used to bring up the upside down cross for the papal throne. But I knew then that was like, that's the Peter's cross. He died upside down.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. I didn't know it at first. And then, but I studied it because I said, something's wrong with this. He's not going to be that obvious. So, you know, and that was big with the dimer, but signs and wonders stuff. And I went, more important than all that is the faith issues. You know, the stuff the guy's sinning against the faith. Go ahead.
What's the judgment on the broken cross then?
I don't like it. It's ugly and gross. It looks like a piece of modern art. Whether it's blasphemous, I don't know, but it is a disgusting modern, it's disrespectful. You might want to even call it sacrilegious because of the way it looks. I would agree with that because I don't like the way it looks. It's disgusting.
She hates that and she wants to destroy it and rob it from the nearby church.
That's good.
So my thoughts are, if she hates that so much, okay. Sure, she hates the gargoyles and the nudes.
Yes, and very right. A lot more. Jupiter, Janus, Apollo, naked Venus. Absolutely.
She doesn't hate more than that because, like, you know, to me, it's just a cross.
I know. It's not as bad. No, you're right. It's not as bad as Jupiter on the door. Or Apollo inside the church, or gargoyles and demons in the map room, or naked Venus in the church. She should be going crazy about that.
Yeah.
You know. Go ahead, Ryan. Yeah, the nude ones. That's, right, you're right, Ryan. It's in one of them churches. A famous one, too. He's totally naked. These people had to be all homos or something because they love painting naked people. What? And then John the Baptist, they had him naked, too, somewhere. I mean, completely naked.
I like your method there, Dermot, with, you know, being a bit strategic with your brother and herself. Just don't waste time with them. If they don't accept something obvious, like, you know, like, so with her, show her the nude crosses, you know, it's kind of step by step. And if she doesn't accept one of the things.
I know she'd be outraged seeing that. I'm going to print them off and show it here. She'll be outraged, you know. And then I'm going to have to admit that it's heresy. You know, and the popes didn't speak out about it. You know, where that's going to be. A hard one, you know, but it'll cross that bridge.
Yeah.
Woe to you if you call evil good and evil.
All right. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the God the Son, Jesus Christ, grant us all the graces and helps we need to be perfect and holy and to become manly and true Catholics and prepare you guys for entering the church and, Phil, for you staying on the right road. St. Patrick, the Moses of Ireland, pray for us. Goodbye, Ireland. And goodbye, Ryan, and goodbye, Phil. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.